Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So when we're feeling some peace, how often do we identify with that peace? As I was saying at the end of the meditation, generally, we enjoy whenever our mind is feeling relaxed, when we're feeling a little bit calmer. But sometimes we don't go that extra step of identifying ourselves, thinking that, as we said in the meditation, that that peace I'm feeling is actually my underlying nature. It's who I am. It feels different, doesn't it, than just enjoying some peace, enjoying some calm or some happiness? Because a part of our mind, if you check, can be thinking, that's nice and all, but that's not really me. This is just sort of a blip on the radar. It's just an occasional, all too infrequent experience. Have you ever thought like that? It's like we can have those experiences, but not identify with them. What do we identify with instead? All the negativities, right? All the things actually, we have it reversed, right? We have it flip-flop. Actually, we should be doing the opposite. So when our mind is negative, so this is something that we can try, is as our mind is becoming unhappy, negative, tense, deluded, we can think, that's not me. And it's not just semantics. Some people might think, well, aren't we just playing mind games here? Actually, we're not, because delusions themselves never function to bring benefit or happiness to ourselves or anybody. And so at a minimum, it's beneficial to put distance, as much mental space or distance between ourselves and them as possible, as we would with somebody negative in the workplace, right? We do that quite readily. We're like, they're a pretty negative, toxic person. I think my best choice is to spend as much time with them as possible and try to adopt as many of their qualities as I can. That's never a thought. I mean, maybe it's a thought, but that we would say to a person who shared that with us, we'd say that's not a good idea, right? We'd be quite clear that that's not something healthy or productive. But we readily do that with our own delusions, with our own negativities. Our own negative self-talk, if you will, all the ideas, conceptions, ideas that we hold about ourselves that actually aren't based in wisdom. They aren't based in a helpful way of living our life. Whereas if we were to do the opposite of what I said and actually take the time to notice when our mind is feeling at peace, calm, relaxed, happy, we're feeling some pleasure or enjoyment, is really to recognize that that experience is coming from within me. Would you say that that's true? That feeling is a feeling, quite literally, inside your own mind, inside of you. And so why not identify that? It is something literally happening within your own mind. So we're free to choose what we identify with. We like that. We like having choices, don't we? We like having freedom to choose. What our founder, Geshe Kelsang, has said always, we have choice. People have choice. So what I'd like to suggest is that we make wise choices about what we are identifying with in terms of our own inner feelings, thoughts, and also our intentions, ideas, and recognitions or views, we call them in Buddhism. So the reason, you know, that is a hopefully that sounds like a practical thing that you could put into practice in your life. Is that true? Do you feel like that's something that we could potentially try out and see the benefit for ourselves? I hope you do, because it is quite phenomenal. What starts to happen is we start to distance ourselves initially mentally from our negativities, such as our anger, our judgmental minds, our delusions, we call them. And the more we can put space in between ourselves and them, we can stop identifying and we stop believing that that's who we are, which frees up some mental space, arguably, to start adopting a much more healthy, beneficial view of ourselves. And then interestingly, we're more likely to do that for other people. Are we not? We're more likely to not think of their delusions when they're in a bad mood or acting in an inappropriate or even harmful way, to recognize that that behavior, that person is deluded in the moment. That's not who they are. And I can reserve space in my mind to think that they could possibly become different. Does that make sense? So what I'm saying is, if we can start that process for ourselves, it actually becomes far more easier. It becomes far easier to do that for other people. And it's not just a nice idea. It actually has wisdom to it. It will function, and it makes our relationships that much better. We begin to like ourselves maybe for the first time, and we make it possible to like other people and eventually to love them, feel compassion, and then develop authentic bodhicitta. So that's a bit of a sidetrack, but not really, because bodhicitta really requires that we adopt quite a confident view of ourselves without ego, which is quite a initially sort of a perplexing idea, because generally we think in order to have confidence, our ego must be sort of front and center. That's largely true. If we look around in our society, the people that appear, at least on the surface, most confident are often, not always, but often the people that have a big ego, right? It's all about them, in other words. Many of you probably know we have a term that refers to this. We don't use the word ego a lot in Kadampa Buddhism, but we use the term self-cherishing more. Self-cherishing is this self-centered view or self-important view. It views ourselves as more important than others. And so somebody with a big ego, we might say, has strong self-cherishing or strong sense of self as being more important than other people. Are you following me so far? So often we link these two things of self-confidence and the ability to help, the ability to change, to help, depends oftentimes on a confidence. But the type of spiritual confidence that we're trying to develop, actually, we are readily letting go of the ego part. In fact, we're trying to develop a humility, which, let's face it, our culture does not encourage humility. You might disagree with me, but I think I could be right. You might agree with me that we don't encourage humility because we see it as a weakness in our culture. Not always. And I would argue actually the people that we look up to the most are actually people who have authentic humility. And so humility defined are the people who understand that ego, remember that's the mind of self-cherishing that thinks of ourselves as more important than other people. That self, Buddha wisely put, that self, that the self-important self, the self that feels more important than others, actually is an illusion. It's actually a false idea. Would you agree? I hope so, because if we disagree with that statement, basically we're saying we're the most important person in the room, and everyone else should agree with that, would agree with that. If one of you stood up and said, you know what, guys, I'm the most important person in the room, how much would we appreciate that comment? No, because we're thinking the same thing under our breath, aren't we not? Are we not? I'm just kidding. Maybe. Depends upon the circumstance, right? But when push comes to shove, generally we think, we wouldn't say this in polite company, but generally we think we're the most important person in the room, oftentimes, or our opinions, our behavior, and so forth reflect that sometimes. Maybe not you, but we all know many people who operate in this fashion. So the idea here, the point that I'm trying to make, is that self-important view isn't true. The idea that we're most important, or any single person is most important, is more important than anyone else, isn't true. Are you following me? So the idea here is that humility, a mind of humility, a person with humility actually has the wisdom to understand that if I am gravitating towards that view that I'm more important than anybody else, that's actually a deceptive thought, and it's going to harm me and other people. It's actually going to create lots of problems. So the humble person understands that it's actually in my own and other people's best interest if I neglect or forget that version of ourself, the self that thinks that I'm more important than you. So wisdom actually is based, humility is based in wisdom from our perspective, from Kadampa Buddha's perspective, and actually makes more sense to discard, or we would say neglect or forget, the self-important self. And so the practice of humility is willingly or consciously neglecting or forgetting that self that we normally see, the self-important one, the one that we're often operating from. And when we do that, what actually happens is we're able to step into a better version of ourselves, a better idea of ourselves, which is that actually a greater confidence comes, because our view then becomes more in line with reality, which is that whose happiness matters most? What would be your answer? It's okay, you can talk. What do you think? Whose happiness matters most? Everybody's, exactly. Everybody's happiness, including our own. So we don't need to, we're not in the sense of developing humility, we're not becoming a doormat. We're not becoming passive. We're not letting people walk all over us. So please don't worry. You're not going to become, milquetoast. You know, we have actually a stronger sense of confidence comes because we know what our purpose is. Our purpose is actually to fulfill something that's far wiser than our self-important view. The view of humility understands that everybody's happiness matters. And so to work for that aim actually makes the most sense. Does that make sense to you? It's like to live in, basically we're living in accordance with reality that actually everybody's happiness matters equally. And so to work for the benefit of everybody's happiness from a wise perspective only makes sense, because that's actually everyone's wish, is to be happy. Everyone wants to be free from suffering. So why not work for that aim? And it becomes something initially, I would say initially, it's sort of a daunting idea. So the idea of a bodhisattva is a person motivated by bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is this wish to become enlightened, to seek enlightenment for the main purpose of benefiting others. So the primary concern of a bodhisattva is to benefit or care for others. Everybody, all others. It's a huge mind, isn't it? If we're really to adopt that as a way of life, can you feel the confidence required that's not based on ego? It's not like I'm more important, therefore I'm going to save the world. It's not like I'm more important than you and now I can save you. It's not that sort of dynamic. It's actually, if anything, from the point of view of humility, we would see everyone as higher than us. Our life is a life of service, but there's a huge confidence in that perspective. There's a huge confidence required to even step into that and think that that's maybe possible for me. Do you find that exciting at all? It requires this ability to let go of the self or persona that we normally relate to. So do you remember I asked you a question at the beginning, at the end of the liberating prayer, I asked you a question about, do you feel, can you relate at all to a sense of the hero or heroine within you? You're like, oh, I forgot. Yeah. If you had some resistance to sort of connecting to that, believing in that, I asked you to see if you could identify why. Often the answer is that, well, A, we may not have known that a bodhisattva is a thing, that that's something that we could work towards or develop. But often, once we get past that hurdle, what often happens is we feel that we're not capable. who am I to try to become such a person? I have a lot of problems, and the idea of trying to, quote, save the world feels like a lot. I'm already quite busy at work. Thank you very much. But it's true, isn't it? With a bodhisattva's mindset, her wish really is to benefit all living beings. That's her ultimate aim. She may not have that ability. Of course, we won't have that ability from the beginning, but it's a little bit like a seven-year-old young person. Maybe a girl grows up and she thinks, you know, my aunt had some chronic illness. And so from that adversity in her family, she decides that she wants to become a doctor, or she wants to become a research scientist to try to figure out a cure for this particular malady. And so the child realizes that they're not, that doesn't get depressed because they can't fix that malady from day one once they've made that decision. But they've adopted this huge visionary, arguably a huge mind, right? That's quite a heroic mind at such a young age to think. But many, many people who decide to pursue such occupations do so at a young age. And so we can ask them what guided them to that. Maybe they had a role model, but often it's because of their love and compassion for others. They want to help. So what I'm saying is, why can we not dream big like children do? It's often because our own mind is our own enemy of sorts. Does that make sense to you? So like, we sabotage our own interests, even the good ones, oftentimes. So arguably, as I said, the mind of bodhicitta, the wish to benefit all living beings and to seek enlightenment in order to do so, of course, is a huge mind. There is no more, as I said, it's called the supreme good heart. There is no more altruistic motivation. And so, of course, it can feel a little daunting at first, but what I'm asking you to consider is to put your ordinary idea of yourself to one side and let your imagination just sort of step into that. What would that be like, for instance, to be a person whose main aim is just to be beneficial? That's really all we're talking about. From the outset, practically speaking, that's a bodhisattva's main aim, is she or he just wants to be beneficial. We can all relate to that, can't we? I think that's probably in part why you're here, quite honestly. Because if you didn't want to be beneficial, you'd be out having brunch with your best friends, or maybe you're planning to have brunch after this, I don't know. But we would be doing something else, rather than getting up early on a Sunday morning to come to a Buddhist meditation center and try to improve ourselves in some way. So what I'm saying is, please take the time to identify with these good qualities that you already possess. Like, all of us have, to some degree, a good disposition. We already have a good heart.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.